A priest friend of mine was visiting a family one night for dinner, and after dinner the priest asked some of the children some religion questions. He pointed to the crucifix and asked the little child, "Who's that?" And the little four-year-old girl said, "That's Jesus." And the priest said, "That's right, tell me something about Jesus." And she said, "Jesus died on the cross for our sins." Oh, the priest was so happy to know this child was so well informed about her faith. Then he pointed to the statue of Mary and said, "Who's that?" The little girl said, "That's Mary." And the priest says, "Well, tell me something about Mary." And this four-year-old girl said, "Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." Well, the priest thought about that, and he said, "You know what? That's very good theology, because Mary did have a little lamb." In fact, today, John the Baptist in the Gospel points out to Jesus, and he shouts out to the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So Jesus is the Lamb of God. And Mary did have this little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow. Jesus was unblemished. He was pure, holy, without sin. The sacrifice of his life he gave for the world, this pure, unblemished lamb of sacrifice. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Think of what happens when Our Lady appears at places like Guadalupe or Lourdes or Fatima. See, these are places of conversion to Christ. In fact, after Our Lady appeared at Guadalupe, 10 million pagans were converted and asked for baptism. And they became Catholics. They became Christians because Our Lady was there. So everywhere that Mary went, Jesus is sure to go. Jesus is sure to be there. And you see, these shrines of Our Lady are places of conversion. In fact, more confessions are heard at Lourdes and Fatima and the Marian shrines than anywhere in the world. See, these places where Our Lady appears, Jesus is sure to be there. And people are converted. And people are transformed by the grace of God. So in today's Gospel, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And an interesting study would be for you to look at the theme of the Lamb throughout the Bible. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, there's a common theme. Genesis chapter 22, we have Abraham taking his son Isaac up to the mountain. Isaac carries the wood of his own sacrifice on his shoulders, just as a foreshadowing of Jesus carrying the cross up Mount Calvary. And then when they got to the top of the hill, Isaac looks around and says, "Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham says something very prophetic. God himself will provide the lamb. And that would occur 2,000 years later when Jesus would be on the cross. God himself would provide the lamb. That question that Isaac asked 2,000 years before, "Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" was answered in today's Gospel when John said, "There, behold, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then we look at Exodus chapter 12 about the Passover, where in order to save the lives of the Hebrew people, God told them each family would procure a lamb. This lamb will be slaughtered in the evening twilight. It'd be pierced through the heart, out would flow the blood. Then after the lamb died, they would consume the lamb in a holy meal. But they would take the blood of the lamb on a hyssop branch and place it on their doorpost. And when the angel of death would pass over, then the angel would see the blood of the lamb and not strike down the firstborn. See how that lamb died in place of the firstborn? So Jesus died in our place. He substituted himself on the cross for our salvation. And that blood of the Lamb prefigured the blood of Jesus. As Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus was that innocent Lamb strung upon the cross pierced through the heart with the sword, the lance, and out flowed blood and water. And then we too are able to consume the Lamb in a holy meal, which we call the Mass, where we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in Holy Communion. See, in order to understand the Mass, you have to understand the Old Testament Passover. You get the word Passover from the fact that the angel of death would pass over the houses. And if that angel saw the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, it knew that a lamb had been sacrificed, and so would not strike down the firstborn. And so Jesus is our Lamb of sacrifice. He shed His blood so we could be free, that we could be saved and get to heaven. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Messiah is referred to as a lamb led to the slaughter who opened not his mouth. Jesus was so innocent, so meek, so gentle, so humble, that He offered Himself on the cross for us. He was that sacrifice for our salvation, and He died for us. And then St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul understands this, and he tells the Corinthians, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. So Paul gets it. He realizes that Jesus is our Passover Lamb, and He has been sacrificed. And then in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we see 29 times Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God, who conquered death, who conquered sin, who is now glorified, wearing the crown. The Lamb is the one who can open, unlock the seal. And this is the Lamb that paid the price for the sins of the world, that perfect sacrifice. See, the Israelites had to use a male lamb that was unblemished. Jesus was unblemished. He was free from sin, and then He was sacrificed for us. So where are the graces of Calvary distributed? They're distributed at the Mass. All the graces that Jesus merited by His passion, death, and resurrection are distributed through the Mass and through the sacraments. So when we attend Mass, we receive the fruits of redemption. We receive the grace of the meritorious death of Christ on the cross. He is that Lamb who offered Himself for us. And when we attend Mass, we're not attending a different sacrifice or a separate sacrifice. We're being made present at the same sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So when we attend Mass, time and space are pushed aside, and we are present at the Last Supper. We are present at Calvary, and we get to be made present to participate in the one and only sacrifice of Christ. Christ only died once. The Mass makes that one death of Christ present to us here in 2011. Here at Holy Trinity Parish, we attend the Last Supper. We attend the crucifixion. We attend the resurrection every time we attend Holy Mass. The sacrifice of Christ is made present for us, and we receive the fruits of redemption. That's why at the Mass, we pray to the Lamb of God. In fact, in the Gloria, we pray, Lord God, Lamb of God, You take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And then three times we say, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And we say that twice, and then we say, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And before we receive Jesus in communion, the priest holds up the host and says, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to His supper. See, the Mass is the supper of the Lamb. I encourage you to read Scott Hahn's book, The Lamb's Supper, because then you'll understand what the Mass is all about and how we can't understand the Mass unless we understand the whole history of the Lamb of God from the book of Genesis through Exodus, through Isaiah the prophet, through St. Paul, all the way up to the book of Revelation. So at the Mass, the priest is like John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So the priest at the Mass says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Happy are those who are called to His supper." So yes, Jesus is God's own Lamb, the innocent one given for our salvation. And yes, Mary did have a little lamb. And Jesus' fleece was white as snow. He was so pure and holy. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.